You're listening to the Mission Church Podcast. Each message comes from our Sunday morning gatherings where we worship in community, study God's Word, and grow in our faith together to the glory of Jesus Christ. The Mission Church is committed to helping each person belong and believe and to equip them to embrace the call of God upon their life. We pray these messages will build your faith and encourage you today.
And the title of the message this morning is The Perseverance of the Saints, Part 2. And so let's pick up in verse 14. Verse 16. These apostates are grumblers, they're complainers, and they're walking according to what? Their own lust. They mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. Oh, we see that during an election season. That's the sinful nature of man. Verse 17, but you, beloved, that's you, beloved of God. You, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude says, listen, not only did Enoch tell you of this apostasy, but also the apostles told you of this apostasy. And by the way, Jude says, I'm not an apostle. The apostles told you about this apostasy. If you're in a church where someone calls themselves an apostle, you're in an apostate church. He's not an apostle, right? Even Jude wasn't an apostle, and Jude was the half-brother of Jesus. Verse 18, the apostles of Jesus, how they told you there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. Leaders who don't know Jesus, leaders who don't know the Bible, leaders who just walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons. Sensual persons does not mean sexual alone. They are that as well. But sensual means they're controlled by their bodily appetites. We have a lot of bodily appetites. We need to breathe. Try not breathing. See how that goes. Your senses will control that, right? Well, we also have other senses. We have the lust for power. We have the lust for sexual things. We have the lust for greed and materialism and ego. And he says they're sensual. They're controlled by their bodily appetites. And they cause divisions, not having the Spirit. That's the Spirit of God in them. They're not saved. And here's where we're camping out today, verse 20, and where we were 2 weeks ago when we were in Jude. But you, beloved, that's you. He's going to give us four instructions on how we're to embrace this call of God upon our life. Four instructions of how we're to contend earnestly for the faith. And here's how we're to do it. But you, beloved, if you weren't with us, put a little number one right here. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Number two, praying in the Holy Spirit. Number three, keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Really cool here, by the way, you probably noticed it, you probably seen it. Here we just saw the Trinity represented in our perseverance. The Trinity represented here, did you catch it? Praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourself in the love of God, there's God the Father, and looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, all the members of the Trinity working in our salvation. Verse 22, and on some have compassion, put a little number four right here, on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by flesh. Don't participate with them. Hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. We'll break all these down again. Again, Jude leaves the subject of apostasy in verse 20. And in verse 21, he begins to wrap up his letter by encouraging us to embrace this call of God upon our life. And the first thing he tells us is to build up our life on our holy faith. On our holy faith. And we looked at some of that last week, but I want to unpack it more with you this week. Building up our life on our holy faith. Jude has shown us that not all faith is holy faith. There is unholy faith. It looks like the real faith, but it's not. It's a counterfeit. Jesus said the same thing. There are tares among the wheat. There are weeds that are growing up with the wheat, and they look identical until the time of harvest. And in that parable, the servants would come to the master and say, "Didn't you plant good seed in the, didn't you plant wheat? How is it that we have these tares?" And in the parable, Jesus said, "Oh, an enemy came and did this. Planted weeds that are meant to look just like the wheat. And a tare and a wheat head looked exactly the same until harvest. The tare would never produce grain." Jesus said, "Let both grow together, lest if you uproot the weeds, you'll destroy the wheat. Let both grow together until harvest. And then I will gather the wheat into my barn, and I will burn the tares with unquenchable fire." Here we see this Jude saying that not all faith is holy faith. And he says, build up your holy faith. There are unholy faiths, faiths that misuse God's word, faiths that depart from God's word. And we studied, we looked, verse 11 told us, they have gone the way of Cain. And we looked at that from Genesis 4. The way of Cain was thinking we could come to God any way that we want. The way of Cain is coming to God on our terms instead of God's terms. Cain tried to come to God without the lamb's blood, and God said, "I will not receive your offerings." There are many people trying to come to God apart from Jesus. "Well, I'm a good person. I try to do good things. I worship. I meditate. I go to the beach. I go to the mountains. I meditate. Hum. I try to be in tune. I recycle." You're coming to God another way. You're coming the way of Cain. That is not a holy faith. And broad is the way that leads to destruction. Jesus taught us clearly, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one can come to the Father but through me." Unholy faith is any faith that doesn't make Jesus the Lord of your life. If Jesus is not Lord of our life, we have an unholy faith. And we will not stand in his presence in the day of judgment. There are others who are building an unholy faith, and that they've gone the way of Balaam. And we looked at the way of Balaam, and Balaam loved money more than he loved God. And he used religion for personal financial gain. It's an unholy faith. And it breaks my heart that in churches across America, this garbage is being peddled. I was speaking with Frank, a missionary who's been visiting with us for the last 4 weeks, and he said, "Your prosperity gospel coming from America," not my, but the prosperity gospel from America has been peddled to the poor in Uganda. And these charlatans come in and they have these crusades and they take money from the poor Ugandans so they can fly on their Lear jets. We're peddling this stuff all over the world. The apostasy is very much here. And Jude says, be careful. He's telling us, build up our lives on our holy faith. Our holy faith, what is that? That's the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. His love for us. His death and resurrection to purchase our salvation. The truth of his word, where we make him the Lord of our life. And when we do, he builds our life. And I tell you what I love about being a pastor are two things. Telling people about the greatness of Jesus. Showing people the greatness of Jesus. And then watching Jesus, the wise master builder, build their lives. I love watching it happen. Last service, there's a gal named Karen who's been coming to the church. She's a Jew, and she came to Christ, and she got saved, and she was homeless. And we've watched God just transform her life. It's been so awesome to watch. She's now no longer homeless. She got a job from somebody here in the church. She's got a place to live in. And 2 weeks ago, I had another homeless man come and ask for some help. And so we helped him. We put him up in a hotel a couple nights, gave him some food, helped him get started. And guess who I sent him to? I sent him to Karen. Karen, can you help this guy and get him on track? And Karen is serving here at the church, and she's doing different things. And what am I? I'm not boasting on Karen. I'm boasting on watching God build a life. And I watch him do it in all of your lives, and I never tire of watching him do it. He is a wise and masterful builder. We have some great builders in this church. We have guys like Galen, you know, and guys like Blake, and guys like Jason, and guys like Terry. Terry's concrete. And these guys are home builders, and they're cabinet builders, and Blake just made some benches for our high school ministry out here, and they're like so well made, you know. They're just like the tongue and groove, and you watch a builder, it's like, wow, great job. Well, can I tell you something? Jesus is a master builder, and what he's building is you. The Bible says that you are his workmanship. You are what he treasures building. You are his delight and what he enjoys building. I love looking at the universe. I'm a geek that way. I think most of you know this about me if you've been here for very long. And I love learning about the universe. Lisa and I were watching a documentary last night on just the size of the universe. It is unfathomable how big the universe is. And we think, well, how big is God? Well, he's bigger than the universe. But we think in the wrong scope. The universe is material. God is not. God is not bigger in size. God is bigger as creator, as a wise master builder. He just spoke the universe into existence in 6 days. And it's ever expanding. It's still growing. It's still, and it's unfathomable. There's a great video series called John 10:10. You might want to YouTube it. Incredible videos. There's one on a hummingbird's tongue that is just unbelievable. It's like mind-boggling. A hummingbird's tongue is twice as long as its beak. And you got to watch this video. You watch, you just go, unbelievable. Just unbelievable. But God spoke all these things into existence. And why? Why? Why is a hummingbird so remarkable? Why is a hawk so remarkable? Why is the size of the universe and the Milky Way galaxy and the galaxies beyond and just unfathomable? Why? Because it reveals God's glory to who? To us. He wants you to know how magnificent that he is. The Bible would say, Psalm 19, the heavens, that means the sky, the universe, declare the glory of God. The firmament, the sky, reveals his handiwork. Day unto day, they reveal knowledge. Night unto night, they speak truth. The universe is just revealing the glory of God to every single person. And he's doing that. Why? Because he wants you to know how infinite he is, how amazing he is, that he is a wise and master builder. Why? So that you would know his glory. You'd begin to see it, and it would move in your heart. And you'd say, Lord, I'd like to know you. What kind of God makes a little flower so beautiful, so intricate in detail that I'd want to pick them and give them to the one that I love as a token of my, because it's just so astonishing. What kind of God would make the world so beautiful that I would sit at the end of the day and watch the sun go down and the radiant hues go, who are you? So much beauty. And as we would ponder the glory of God revealed in the universe, the Holy Spirit of the true and living God, for he's not just a force, he's a living person, would come and speak to us and say, I want you to know him. That God who is a spirit became a man, and he dwelt among us, and he gave his life on a cross to pay the purchase of your sin, to pay the price of your sin, to purchase your salvation, so that you could be in intimate relationship with him. Because he's a wise and masterful builder. But what he wants to build is not a universe. He can speak that into existence in 6 days. What he wants to build is you. Ephesians would tell us, you are his workmanship. You are his poem. You are the thing that he is building because he wants to be in relationship with you. And why he has set his affection upon us is just mind-boggling to ponder. It has nothing to do with our greatness. It's to reveal his greatness. And there are depths there that I would love to go into with you that we don't have time right now. But I want you to know he has made you on purpose with all your faults and blemishes because you will be able to understand and comprehend his love both now and in the ages to come for an incredible work that he wants to do in and through you throughout all eternity. A wise master builder. And I want you to know Jesus wants to build us into something substantial, into something formidable. We look at the world and we see people fall apart because they get a flat tire. They need to take Prozac because they got a flat tire. They have someone say something that they didn't like, and I'm offended, and I need PTO because I was offended. Are you that fragile? Are you that weak? Are you that frail? And the answer is, absolutely. What a pathetic generation. A bunch of snowflakes that melt if the temperature gets over something, the 1 degree that they're comfortable in. The Bible says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. God wants to build us into something substantial, something formidable. Men like Polycarp. Polycarp? Oh, one of the first century martyrs, martyred for his faith. At his execution, the executioner said, just deny Jesus and you can have your life, your house, your wife, and your entire family. Just deny Jesus. You know what Polycarp said? I forget the exact number, but it was something like this. For 40 years, he has not denied me. In all my failures and all my faults, for 40 years, he has not denied me. I am not going to deny him now. What's Polycarp saying? He has saved me over and over again from all the times I've blown it, from all the times I failed, and I'm going to stand. I'm not going to deny him now. He's never denied me. I think of Stephen, the first martyr in the church. And there he is, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, proclaiming God's word with divine unction to the Jews who are about to kill him. And they are so immature, they hate his words so much, that they literally plug their ears at his preaching about Jesus because they're so convicted. And I look at the world today, and they're doing the same thing. Oh, you bring up Jesus, and they're like, oh, oh, oh. Right? Sorry for that ugly face. They plug their ears and they pick up rocks to stone him. And Stephen, in one of the most profound messages, he's preaching under the unction of the Holy Spirit. He then says, Father, forgive them. they don't know what they're doing. Echoing the words of Jesus. How does God build such a man? How does God build such character? Let me tell you how. He's a wise, incredible builder. Do you know why the universe is so glorious? Because he wants you to see his handiwork. Those things are just his handiwork. You are his workmanship. Wow. If only you could fathom what God wants to do in and through your life, not only in this lifetime, but in the ages to come. Oh, you would think differently. I would think differently. And we learn about these things. We begin to grow in them. It's incredible to watch. Jesus wants to build us into something formidable. And that is exactly what Jesus said. Look at this. Luke chapter 6. Jesus' own words. Let me hear you read this, if you will. Again, these are Jesus' words. Keep that in mind. Read with me. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. The Christian life is not a life without problems or trials or without storms. It's a life that is so built by Jesus Christ, so rooted and grounded, so substantial that even when you go through storms, your house stands strong and united in bonds of love, in bonds of wisdom, in bonds of discernment and just amazing strength of the person of Jesus Christ. And in a world that is overwhelmed and inundated with depression and drug use and suicide attempts at an all-time high, and the young teen girls who can't even barely make it through life because they're so weak, Jesus is saying, come to me, come to me. I want to build your life into something substantial. Build your life on a holy faith that will sustain you through all the trials of life. And Jesus says, hey, listen, the storms will come, but they will not shake it. They will beat vehemently, but you will remain secure, for you are founded on the creator of the universe. His name is Jesus. Jesus warns us, though, this gift isn't to everyone. Look what the rest of the verse says. But he who heard and did nothing, didn't do anything with this plan of salvation that God gave to the world. He who heard about this plan of salvation, did nothing with this plan of salvation, is like a man who built his house on the sand without a foundation. And against the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. A total loss. A total ruin. God is a master craftsman. And when God builds us with his character, our lives are formidable. And we glorify God because we can go through opposition. We can have hard things come to us. And we have a peace that passes understanding, a strength that is not moved, and a house that does not fall. And that glorifies Jesus. This isn't God's plan just for the church. This is God's plan from the beginning of time. This is why he made man. This was God's plan for man from the beginning, that we would know him and have our lives rooted and built on him, and that we would be substantial as a result. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. I want to illustrate this in this chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 4, you'll remember, Deuteronomy, the name means... It's a compound word, Deuteronomy, second law, Deuteronomy, law, second law. Why? Because God had brought the children of Israel up out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery, out of bondage. That's a picture of our salvation from the world. We were in bondage to sin. He saved them all by his power, and he wants to bring them into the promised land. But there were apostates among them who did not believe, and they perished in the wilderness. And what should have been just a very short journey took 40 years. Because of unbelief. And now as they are ready to go into the promised land, this second generation, Moses reminds the second generation of some very important truths to build up their holy faith. So they're not building on an unholy faith. And here's what he says to them. Chapter 4, are you there? Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. Now, O Israel, listen. Underline listen. Listen to the statutes and to the judgments which I teach you to observe. Two words to underline, listen and observe. Listen and observe. What? Statutes and judgments, what are those? Those are just synonyms for God's law, God's word. Listen and observe God's word. Why? That you may live, circle may live. Live means not just exist, but thrive. That you might thrive, that you might live, that you might go in. Go in where? Go into this promised land. That you might go conquer new territory that you never had before. God wants you to conquer new territory in your life. He wants you to conquer your addictions. He wants you to conquer your anger. He wants you to conquer your pride. He wants you to conquer your foolishness and to grow in wisdom and discernment so that you can be a better leader at work, a better leader in your family, a better leader in whatever God brings you before. And notice what he says. I want you to live. I want you to thrive. I want you to go in. I want you to conquer new territory. And then I want you to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Possess. That doesn't mean have. I don't want you to have the land. I want you to possess the land. What does that mean? I want you to have dominion over it. I don't want it having dominion over you. Sometimes we buy a house we can't afford and it has dominion over us. We're just struggling and we're working for the house. No, no, no. I don't want you working for what I give you. I want you having dominion over what I give you. I want you to have amazing families. Tremendous wisdom, which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. Verse 2, you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor shall you take from it. You should not remember, quote, a single verse and take it out of context to mean something that I never intended it to mean. You're adding to the word. And you shouldn't take away from the word. Not reading. Not studying. Not understanding. Not spending time meditating upon. You're taking away from the word. He says, listen, don't add to the word. Don't take it out of context. And don't take away from it. That you might keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. And he says, I want to remind you of something. Verse 3. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor. For the Lord your God destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal Peor. What was that? Well, if you were with us in the study of Job, we looked at this. This was the greed of Balaam. And Balaam, you'll remember, was hired by King Balak to curse God's people. And he couldn't do it. But he wanted the money. He said, hey, listen, here's what you do, King Balak. You get your little Moabite women and you tell those Moabite women to go have relations with the men of Israel with their little idols. And you say, this is how we worship our idols, these little sexual worship sessions here, these little idols. And God will bring judgment on his own people. And so King Balak did that. He got all the Moabite girls to go down to the Israelite men and say, this is how we worship our God, with these little sexual idols. And God brought a plague on the men of Israel, and 24,000 men fell to that plague. Why? Because they weren't building up their life on holy faith. That was a wicked faith. And he says, listen, your eye saw what happened there. Verse 4, but you held fast to the Lord your God, and you're alive today, every one of you. What is Moses saying? Listen, guys, God's ways work. If you walk in them, your house is going to be built on a solid foundation. If you don't, you're going to be destroyed. Verse 5, surely I have taught you the statutes and the judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them. And underline these words. For this, read it with me, for this is your wisdom. I'd like to hear every single one of you read this with me. Verse 6, one more time. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of all peoples, in the sight of all nations, is what God is saying. This is your wisdom. This is your understanding. This will be the solid foundation that you are building your life on. And look what the nations will say. They will hear all these statutes and say, surely this is a great nation and a wise and understanding people. God wants to build your life, to make you so substantial as you build up your life on your holy faith, not a false faith, not an unholy, on the true and living God, that your life is so substantial that all the nations of the earth go, how do they do it? I mean, they seem to have joy. They lost a child, we lost a child, yet their life is still abundant. He lost his job, we lost our job. How? They're still in love. They're still a family. They're still thriving. How will they do it? Well, all the nations will look and they'll say, wow, this is a great nation, a wise and understanding people. I want you to know, this isn't only for the nation Israel. This is what God wants to do in your life. God's word is able to build you. God is a wise and masterful builder, and he wants to build you. You are his workmanship. Look how Psalm 19 says this. I love this psalm. I want you to notice the orange underlined parts of these verses, right? I want you to say them out loud. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Converting the soul. Changing me from the inside. Changing my nature. Changing my character from the inside. God's word can do that. It converts the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making what? Making wise the simple. Can I tell you something? I'm a simple man. But God's word has given me wisdom. And it's nothing unique about me. That's what God wants to do for everyone. He will make wise the foolish through his word. The statutes, the law, the testimony, the statutes, all just synonyms for God's words, God's commandments. The statutes of the Lord are right. What? Rejoicing the heart. You walk in them, you're going to just have joy in your heart. Last night, I finished a long day at work, and I came home, and there's my wife, and I just couldn't wait to just sit down on the couch with her. And I sit down on the couch, and she's on the other end of the couch. I'm like, what the heck? So I slide on over. Actually, I made her slide over, but... And can I tell you something? I've been doing that since I was 18 years old. I met her at 18. I've been chasing her since I was 18 years old. And she came and sat next to me, and it just rejoicing in my heart. I go, Lord, you're so good. End of a day, come and sit with one I love and have my wife right now. Lord, you're so good. And then we go to bed, and there's something amazing about just going to bed. And I don't mean sensual. I mean, that too, but... But you go to bed and you just snuggle up. And I just snuggle up and I'm saying my prayers and I'm saying, Lord, you're just so good. I love your ways. Thank you that I would have destroyed this marriage a million times over. Lord, thank you that you're just, the law of the Lord is so good, and it brings rejoicing to the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Read it with me. Enlightening the eyes. What does that mean? I didn't see things properly. I used to think success meant something, but the word of the Lord is pure, and it enlightens my eyes, allows me to see things differently that I never saw before. Do you know why the world is falling apart? Because their eyes are blinded to truth. They don't know. They stumble in darkness. And the word of the Lord enlightens the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean in what? Enduring forever. What does that mean? Well, it means that it's just immutable wisdom. It never changes. It is just solid truths that will remain forever. Incredible things. Let's go on. The rest of the verse. The law of the Lord is perfect. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. God wants to build your life, wants to give you great reward. He's a wise master builder. And this is what Moses is reminding the children of Israel as they go in to inherit this promised land that God wants to give them. I want you to know the promised land is not geography. It's just more dirt. But when you walk in the precepts of God's laws and God's ways, wherever you are geographically will be the promised land. It'll be where your home thrives. Verse 7, for what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, that for whatever reason we may call upon him? Lord, I need help in this. Oh, I'll guide you. I'll show you. Has God so near to us? And what great nation is there that has such statutes and such righteous judgments? These are just God's laws, right? As are in this law that I set before you this day. These profound truths that will help us build a rich and meaningful life. Such statutes and judgments. Man. Look at verse 9. Only take heed or be careful to examine yourself and diligently keep yourself in God's word. Diligently keep yourself in these commandments. What's he saying? Build up our life on our holy faith. Keep yourself in God's word, lest you forget these things which your eyes have seen. And read this part with me and underline it. Lest they depart from your heart. The heart is the heart of the matter. God doesn't want your rote religion. He wants you to realize his ways are amazing. He wants you to be in awe of him. And we walk with him because we're in love with him. We're in awe of his love for us. Keep these things in your heart all the days of your life and teach them to your children. Teach God's word to your children and teach God's word to your grandchildren. I can't wait for that next season of life for me where I get to do that, especially concerning the day that you stood before the Lord, your God, in Horeb. Horeb is Mount Sinai when God gave the Ten Commandments, when the Lord said to me, gather the people and I will let them hear my words that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth and that they may teach their children my word. Wow. Jump down to verse 39. Therefore, know this day and consider in your heart that the Lord himself is God. In heaven above and earth beneath, there is no other. You shall therefore keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today. And again, underline this, that it may go well with you all the days of your life, and it may go well with your children after you all the days of their life, that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord your God is giving you for all time. The land of Israel, given to the nation of Israel for all time, by the way. Incredible truths. And we learn that we're to build up our life. This is what it means to build up our life on our most holy faith. 2 weeks ago, we looked at this. Building up our life on our holy faith does not mean believing more. Well, I just believe. And it's such a shame that in churches today, that's being taught. We just got to believe more. And I mentioned 2 weeks ago, you either believe John 3:16 or you don't. But you can't believe it more. Now, you can know more about Jesus. And that is what great faith is. It's knowing more about Jesus. The Roman centurion knew more about Jesus. He was a man who had built synagogues and had devoted his life to the word of God. And he had a servant that was sick. And he came to Jesus and said, Jesus, come and heal my servant who is sick. And Jesus said, I'll come. And the Roman centurion said, oh, master, you don't need to come. Just speak the word and it will be done. For I am a man of authority. I say to this one, go conquer that hill. And he goes and conquers that hill. I say another one, you stay here and watch guard. And he does so. I'm also a man under authority. My commander tells me what to do, and that's what I do. Lord, you just speak the word. I know your authority. You just speak. You don't need to come. Just speak the word. I'm not worthy of you to come. Just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus said, I have not seen that great a faith, no, not all in Israel. Great faith is not believing more. Great faith is knowing who we believe in. Big difference. And in this church, it has become, the church in America, it's become an apostate church. It's like a new age center where we just are told to believe and believe more and believe. We're called to know him. We have churches teaching people, you just have to believe, and it's not true. It's just not true. We can believe something errant with all of our heart, and it is not going to happen. I don't care how much you believe it with all your heart. If it's not true, it's not going to happen. I might believe with all of my heart that I'm going to become the smartest man in the world. Is that ever going to be true? No. So it doesn't matter how much you believe something. What matters in is what you believe in. And we need to believe in the right things. Again, some American churches look like centers for New Age philosophy. They're teaching that man is divine and that man is able to speak things into existence, to create his own reality through positive thinking. And they twist the scripture and they said man was made in God's image and God spoke things into existence. So you can speak things into existence by believing it. Can I tell you something? That is what Satan told Eve. You are not God. I hate to tell you. You are not divine. That is a lie. And I don't care how much you believe it. It will leave you bankrupt. And when the storm comes, your house will crumble. We can believe with all our heart that our nation is going to get better. I don't care how much you believe it. It's not going to happen unless we obey God's word. If we obey God's word, our nation's going to thrive. And I have great hope for that. A local elementary school was in the news, national news this week. Did you see that? It was La Costa Heights Elementary. National news, here another school, Carlsbad, Encinitas, in national news, unfortunately not for good reasons. A new book in that La Costa Heights Elementary School, My Shadow is Pink. Another book, it's about a boy who his shadow is pink, and he likes a quote from the book, he likes to wear dresses and princesses and things not made for boys, and my shadow is pink. And this school, La Costa Heights Elementary School, had all their fifth graders read this book. And then after they read the book, the fifth graders are mentors to their little buddies, the kindergartners. And the teachers instructed the fifth graders to tell the kindergartners about "My Shadow is Pink." Deplorable. Deplorable. More grooming of our children into sexual perversion. And in this book, the book is indoctrination. It's a perversion. The dad is just troubled by the son who wants to be a girl. And there's a cartoon of the dad there, and there's the cartoon of the boy. But over time, they're just grooming. Look at this. I'll read this to you. The boy speaking. "My heart skips a beat as I put on a dress. And I look at my dad, who is anxious and stressed. He takes me to class, and I turn to say bye. His face is all worried. There's fear in his eyes." Can you see the indoctrination of what they're telling you? Hey, don't worry about your parents. And then the book goes on. Look at the next slide. Pretty soon, dad's wearing a dress in the book. It's hard not to laugh. If it didn't hurt so bad and we weren't crying inside, we'd probably all be laughing. But this is real. And they're telling these fifth graders to indoctrinate the kindergartners with this stuff. Deplorable. We can believe it's going to get better. That's ridiculous. God has called us to take action and to stand in faith. And may we do so. Building up our holy faith is making Jesus Lord of our life, learning his word and walking in his ways. And I want you to know it produces the most rewarding life we can ever live. We learn and experience by obeying God's word that obeying God's word is better than obeying the flesh. It brings wisdom. It brings joy. It brings health and sustenance to our life and to our church and to our city and to our nation. And so important. So these are the things that Jude is encouraging us in. And I wanted to unpack this more. I know we talked about this last week as well. All these things are important. The second thing he tells us is that we're to pray in the Holy Spirit. This is how we embrace this call of God upon our life. And we talked about this 2 weeks ago. Praying in the Holy Spirit simply means praying the Holy Spirit's agenda, not my agenda. It's praying God's will, not my will. It's praying in Jesus' name, not in my name. And I want you to know that means a lot more than just finishing a prayer in Jesus' name. It means that the words that we pray, the things that we're asking, the things that we're desiring, the things that we're asking God for help in are in line with God's character, are in line with God's will. Praying in the Holy Spirit is not something hyper-spiritual or super mystic, but it is something incredibly powerful because we're praying the will of God. And the will of God is not a mystery. You hear people say, "I just wish I knew God's will for my life." No problem. You can. Just read your Bible. God's will is revealed in God's word. His word is his will. You can know God's will for everything you face in life, and you can pray that accordingly by knowing God's word. I got a great note from a gal last Sunday. She was new here to the Mission Church and loving it. And the note says, "Hey, love it here, but I want to grow." I just thought, how amazing. What a great thing. I want to grow. And she says, "Do you have a class to help me grow?" And can I answer that to us all? Yes, we do. You're in it. This is the class. You see, there's no secret lever. There's no special degree. We study God's word and we learn it and he builds us. We do have a class. It's called Men's Ministry, Women's Ministry. We wrote a curriculum to help you understand the Bible and learn how to study the Bible and get the most out of the Bible. And by doing your homework, you're going to become a student of God's Word. And it'll help you, not just for the book we're studying in men's and women's, but it'll help you study every book you ever study again from there on in. I teach you in these sermons, and I have a goal. Not only do I want to inspire and show you who the true and living God is, but I also want to have a goal to help you learn how to read your Bible. So I say, circle this, underline this, write names by the pronouns so you know who that is, and number this, 1, 2, 3, 4, because I want you to learn how to read your Bible. Why? So you can pray God's will, know God's will. God's will is not a mystery. Christian, be of good cheer. Jesus is building you one step at a time. I know we want God to like have a lightning bolt experience. We want someone to hit us with a magic wand and poof, we're different. We're like an apostle. It doesn't work that way. And you watch Jesus raising up the 12 disciples, you'll know it doesn't work that way. He builds us as we walk with him over time. Because God is not lightning bolt God. God is relationship God. And what he's building is an intimate relationship with you and with me. This is what he wants to do. When God led the nation of Israel, he told them this. He says, listen, I don't want to be lightning bolt God. I know I parted the Red Sea for you, but that's not how I want to work. I want to work in everyday life with you. I want you to learn how to have a relationship with me and grow in my ways. I'm relationship God, not lightning bolt God. And when we go to these churches where we want to get hit on the forehead and fall over backwards and have my entire life be different, that's a different Jesus. That's a fake Jesus. The true and living God says, take on my ways and learn of me. For my burden is easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come and walk with me. Learn my ways. Look how God says this in Deuteronomy chapter 7 to the nation Israel. Let me hear you read this. The Lord your God will drive out the evil nations before you. Read it with me. Little by little. You will be unable to destroy them at once or in a moment, lest the beast of the field become too numerous for you. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you in due time. And he's going to do it how? Little by little. I love that note I got, but there's no lightning bolt experience. Sorry. You're going to grow little by little as you study God's word. And he builds a relationship with you. And you learn his ways. And I'm still learning. And he's still building me little by little. But I'm not near where I was 20 years ago. And I'm not near where I was a year ago. And I'm not near where I'm going to be in a year from now. Because he's building me in a relationship with him that is ever deepening, ever growing. This infinite God who is just full of majesty and splendor. So as we pray and study our Bibles and serve others, I want to encourage you. This is his work in you. He's building you. Be confident, Christian. He's at work in your life. And here's what Philippians would tell us. Be confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus' return. When he brings you with him to set up his kingdom on the earth. He who began this good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the end of time. And I'm so thankful for that. The third step, he told us, is keep ourselves in the love of God. And we covered that last week. And that just simply means that we remember God's amazing love for us. There are times in life when we get discouraged, when we get tired, when we face difficult trials, when we make mistakes and mess up things and fatigue sets in. And because we get disappointed in ourselves. We are prone to get discouraged and to think, well, maybe God doesn't love me. Nothing could be further from the truth. This week on Friday, just 2 days ago, I just got discouraged. I just got down. I'm like, man, like just, I wish I was doing this better. I wish I was doing this better. And I was discouraged. I began to pray and I said, Lord, you know, I want to get right focus in my head. I want to get right focus on my heart. And I realized I had worked 14 days in a row without a day off. And I'm not saying this for pity. I'm just trying to tell you what happened. And I realized, oh my gosh, I'm worn out. Lord, I didn't keep your word. I didn't keep a Sabbath. Many of those days were 12, 14 hour days. I didn't keep your Sabbath, Lord. And now I'm crumbling as a result. Lord, I need to keep your word. So I'm taking tomorrow off. But keeping ourselves in the love of God is when we fail and when we blow and when we mess up, we go, oh man, I bet God's mad at me. No. It's remembering that God's love for me is uncaused by me, uncaused by you, his love for us. I told you the story 2 weeks ago of a woman that I met on the National Day of Prayer. Her name was Lisa. I heard her story on the National Day of Prayer. And as a teenager, she ran over her dad with the family speedboat and cut him in half. And she has been living with this guilt of, I am an unworthy person. God must be mad at me. God must hate me. I am so messed up. I can never fix what I've done. And oh, how I want her to know the love of God. And Jude is telling us, look, when you fail, don't look at your failure. Keep yourself in the love of God. Don't say, oh, I'll do better next time so God will like me. God doesn't work that way. His love for you is uncaused by you. And we're going to blow it. We're going to stumble. And when we do, we just wake up and say, Lord, thank you that your mercies are new every morning. And today, Lord, I want to walk with you. That's keeping ourselves in the love of God. The fourth and final one Jude gives us here. Take a look at this. Again, verse 20. But you, beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith. We talked about that. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Keeping yourself in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And now, number four. On some have compassion, making a distinction. But others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. What is he talking about? He's saying, hey, listen, the fourth thing to embracing this call of God upon your life is bringing others to King Jesus. And there's two ways to do this. You have to make a distinction on which one to use. Jesus has called us to be fishers of men, to be salt and light of the earth, to bring sinners to him so that he can save them. Jesus wants to partner with him in building his kingdom. Jesus is building his kingdom and he wants us to partner with him in that work. How exciting. You know how thrilling it is for me to have my son Ryan on stage, to have my kids all serving, my wife. Just, I love it. Well, those are God's ways. And God wants to use you to build his kingdom. And Jude tells us when we do so, there's different ways we have to do it. Sometimes we have to have compassion, and other times we have to pull them from the fire. What does that mean? Well, let's look at those two. The first thing he's telling us is that we're to bring others to King Jesus with loving compassion. Some people have not made Jesus the Lord of their life simply because they do not know the riches of Jesus' love. They do not know the beauty of the gospel. They do not know that his love for us is uncaused by us, that he loves us so much that he paid the price to purchase our redemption, and that he wants to give it to us as a free gift, without price, without earning it, without doing anything, just by understanding his great love for us. They don't know that. They don't know the gospel. They don't know the wisdom of God's word, that these aren't rules you have to obey. And it's like, I really want to commit adultery, but I can't because the Bible says don't. No. That these words bring life to our life. And they're the joy of our heart to walk in. And they don't know that. And so Jude would say, bring those people to him with great loving compassion. This is just like what Jesus did. So many in the world today are just like the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Do you remember her? Married five times. Married five times and divorced five times. And now the man she's living with, not even her husband, given up on marriage. She's looking for love in all the wrong places. And Jesus came to her with loving compassion. You know what he said to her? Woman, if you knew the gift of God, and if you knew who was standing here with you, you would ask him, he would give you living water, overflowing, running free, eternal life. Freedom, forgiveness of sin, righteousness imparted to you, an abundant life. Jesus came to her with loving compassion. Jesus came to most people with loving compassion. Jesus came to Matthew, the tax collector. Matthew was a Jewish man who had left his faith because of the horrible things he had seen in his faith, vain religion, hypocrisy. And he says, I give up on that. And he became a tax collector, hated by his Jewish brethren. And Jesus would come to him and say, Matthew, I understand you have sought horrible stuff in religion. I want you to know that's not who I am. Now follow me. Change his life. Jesus would come to the woman caught in the act of adultery. And Jesus would say, woman, where are your accusers? Neither do I accuse you. Now go and sin no more. Coming to them with loving compassion, the love of Jesus Christ. And that is the way that we are to come to people. Most people are in this camp. They simply don't know the riches of Jesus' grace and his mercy. They don't know how amazing his love is. And Jude is telling us, come to them, bring Jesus to them with incredible loving compassion. Bring them to Jesus and bring them to the gospel. But he also says there are others who are stubborn mules. You know any stubborn mules? I know some stubborn mules. I is one. And stubborn mules are high-minded. They think they're smarter than everybody. They think they're better than everybody. Lisa and I had four kids. When you have four kids, you see the diversity in each kid, right? They're so different. My daughter, just tender-hearted, I could just look at her with a raised eyebrow, and she's like, oh, man, I'm sorry. I'll get right back on track, right? But one of my three sons, that didn't work. And I had to come to him with hard truth, well spoken. And Jude says, make a distinction. Bring people to Jesus. And there's two ways to do it. Most people, the majority of people, loving compassion. But some people need hard truth, well spoken. Jude clearly recognizes the different strategies that are to be employed with different people. Some people will profit from gentle words and guiding words. Others will go, oh, that's good for you, but I don't need that stuff. And Jude tells us to pull them out of the fire of their shameful, sinful ways that will destroy their soul. Jude is saying, know the difference. People are different. Some need to be won to Jesus with tender compassion, others with hard truth that is well spoken. And so may we be wise. Let's close. Let's wrap up. More could be said on that, but let's finish this chapter so we don't do part 9. Verse 24. I'm going to ask the band to come up. Verse 24, now unto him, who's the him? Jesus, right? Jesus right there. Now unto Jesus, who is able to keep you from stumbling. Now unto Jesus, who is able to keep you from falling away from him. Jude started his letter with a perseverance of the saints through the strength of Jesus Christ. And he finishes his letter with a perseverance of the saints through the strength of Jesus Christ. I am so thankful that for 30-something years, Jesus has been able to keep me from falling away from him. I am more in love with him today than ever before. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling, from falling away from Jesus, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He is able to present you faultless, perfectly righteous, a perfect, spotless virgin without blemish, clothed not in your righteousness, but clothed in his perfect righteousness given to you as a free gift. And he will present you before the presence of his glory, spotless, perfect. And he will do it with exceeding great joy. It will be his delight to present you faultless before himself, before the radiant throne of God, before the bema seat, before the Shekinah glory of the radiant power of God. Amazing. I want you to know I have tasted slivers of his glory. I have experienced slivers of his presence upon me. And it brings me to my knees in tears of joy, snot pouring from my face as I am just gasping, as I am in awe of his glory. It moves my heart. Can you even imagine what being in the fullness of his glory would be? Moses saw a sliver of his glory when God hit him in the cliff of the rock, but that glory faded. We will be in the fullness of his glory forevermore. Oh my gosh. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, his exceeding joy, and it'll be your exceeding joy as well. To God, our Savior, they are one and the same. His name is Jesus. He alone is wise. Be all glory, be all majesty, be all dominion and power, both now and throughout all eternity. And the Church of Jesus Christ said, amen. Amen. Way to go studying the book of Jude, church. Way to go.
You've been listening to a message from Pastor David Menard. You may freely share this message with others as long as you don't charge for it. Support for these broadcasts comes from your generous donations that allow us to give away our materials for free. To participate with us, please visit our website at themissionchurch.net. God bless.